Chapter 4. Obi-Wan leans back, scrubbing a hand over his face. His mission analysis is about done now. The mission on Vetlandlaw hadn't been overly complicated, and he'd already submitted his reports, results, and the preliminary checkup schedule to keep up on the progress of the local restoration efforts. He's more or less done with the whole thing. There's no real reason to do an analysis on top of everything else. He's not an adept anymore. He has little to prove left. If he says the situation is typical, these are the causes, this is what I recommend, it's enough. But it gives him something to distract himself with. Specialist, and he's still inventing work for himself to have an excuse out of annoying situations. Guess some things you just never grow out of.
Sir,
MD4 asks, swinging into his view.
It's 4 in Galactic Standard Time.
Time to start preparing dinner, Obi-Wan thinks, and pushes away from the lab table, pushing the data pad away. He should clean up, he thinks, looking over the messy tables and counter. And he's still in the middle of sorting out the samples from Vetlandlaw. Not that there had been that many. The issue hadn't been environmental after all. He should still look them over, sort them out, mark them accordingly. Some young adept out there might have to do a thesis on the thing. Excuses, Obi-Wan thinks, and stands up. If he concentrates, he can feel them. Qui-Gon Jinn and the boy, Anakin Skywalker. Humans feel so tight in comparison to plants. Their force signatures all bundled up, drawn inward, pulling more than pushing. Knots in the force, Embraka had once called them. They take the force around them and sort of bunch it up, forming little gravity wells where force is drawn toward them, and thus away from the plants around them. Obi-Wan really doesn't like having non-Agricor members on board the ship. They mess up the balance of force on board his ship every time. Well, at least these ones aren't about to keel over into acute allergic reactions. Hopefully. He should probably do something about the non-human friendly plants, though. MD4, get the marking flags, will you? The red ones? Obi-Wan says. Mark everything that's toxic to baseline humans, will you?
Mark, sir?
MD4 asks, swinging side to side in the air. Just stick a flag on every plant that's not human safe, Obi-Wan says with a wave of his hand. Let's try and keep our guests alive, however long they're staying. The droid beeps in somewhat harassed affirmative, and then flies off to find the flags while Obi-Wan heads for the cooler. Cooking for 3 people, and a man of Qui-Gon's size would eat a lot. Obi-Wan bows his head a little. Qui-Gon likes tea, doesn't he? Well, all Jedi do. Obi-Wan certainly drinks his share. Maybe he should get some of the better blends out from the man. He's been a bit brusque to him, he thinks. But then he has every right, doesn't he? Does he? Obi-Wan frowns, and then turns the handle of the cold storage door, stepping into the cooler. Lights turn on as he does, lighting the racks upon racks of harvested produce, and the dozens of small crates of various cold samples. Like he'd thought, some of it is shellfish. The samples from Kennick, too, but those weren't exactly for eating. Still, Obi-Wan puts them further back onto the shelf, just in case. He'll be dropping them off for analysis at the greenhouse soon, but still. Now, what to make for his guests? He doesn't really feel like doing anything too complicated. Bean soup, maybe? He still has a couple of jars of them left. They'd go well with some celery, peppers, a bit of onion. He had a recent harvest of sprouts. He could roast some up with oil and salt. Yeah, that could work. Obi-Wan grabs an empty half crate and loads it up with everything he needs before shouldering his way out of the cold storage. And almost colliding with Qui-Gon, who is now standing in the corridor outside. Sorry, Obi-Wan says, and quickly lifts the crate up, resting the weight on top of his shoulder, while closing the cooler door with his free hand. Do you need something? Qui-Gon looks at him, and it's weird. It's just weird. It doesn't even hurt. It's just damn odd to have him there. Like he has stepped right out of Obi-Wan's dreams and memories. Except not. He's older now, his hair going from the brown of Obi-Wan's memories into gray. And Obi-Wan had completely forgotten the lines of his face. How many of them seemed to be laugh lines? Qui-Gon Jinn had always been so firm, so strong, so severe in his memories. The Jedi Master clears his throat, and he looks awkward. Do you need help? He asks.
12 years late for that, old man.
Obi-Wan thinks, somewhat uncharitably, and shakes his head. I got it, he says, and asks again. Is there something you need?
So much for trying to be more polite.
Qui-Gon looks at him regretfully.
I had hoped we could talk, he says. Alone.
Great, Obi-Wan thinks. Well, it had been coming,
and it had been sort of what he'd been after himself. Talking stuff over, and finally coming to terms with it. Talking alone with Qui-Gon, that was inevitable. He just hoped he'd have a little more time to mentally prepare himself for that.
Yeah, sure, Obi-Wan says, and turns to the kitchen. We can talk while I cook. Qui-Gon says nothing, following him in.
The kid isn't there,
Obi-Wan finds to his surprise, and wonders if Qui-Gon had sent Anakin to his cabin to get him out of the way.
Maybe, probably.
He seems very protective of the boy.
Lucky kid, Obi-Wan thinks,
and holds the crate of vegetables and beans to the nearest open kitchen counter, looking it over.
Better start on the soup first, he muses, and then gets the cutting board.
Qui-Gon feels like a shadow behind him, where he hovers about and finally sits by the kitchen table to watch.
I understand we may have issues, the man starts.
Obi-Wan agrees, grabbing a knife from the rack and then starting to work on dicing everything up.
And it might take a while to sort through those issues, Qui-Gon continues. But in the meanwhile, I would appreciate if you did not give Anakin a hard time. My failings are no fault of his.
Obi-Wan pauses in the act of removing the seeds off the peppers, leaning back to look at the man.
You really think I'd do that? He asks flatly.
I hope not, Qui-Gon says calmly. But he is my responsibility, and as such, I need to look after his well-being, mentally as well as physically. Obi-Wan's fingers clench around the knife.
So that's what masters do for their Padawans, is it? Look after their well-being? How damn nice, he thinks,
and looks away, taking a calming breath. Beneath you, sapling. This is beneath you, he thinks. I wouldn't, he says then, and concentrates on the vegetables, setting the seeds aside.
I'm a little curious, though. It's obvious that kid comes from outside the Order. Jedi initiate that didn't know what allergies are, what vaccinations are. Plus, the kids' clothes are telling. Everything's sand-colored, handmade. Not just the way Jedi clothes are, made to look homespun, but actually spun and sewn by hand. And his boots are dirty. Definitely no temple-grown brat, that one. He isn't from the Order, no, Qui-Gon says. I found him on an Outer Rim planet. Observed him to be unusually strong in the Force. To leave him untrained would have been borderline criminal, so I brought him to the temple. Where, after a good decade of apparently not accepting students, it lifted more than a few eyebrows, Obi-Wan guesses, and starts chopping the peppers, not saying anything. Well, Qui-Gon is right about one thing, anyway. None of that is the kid's fault. Qui-Gon Jinn, it seems, will always do as Qui-Gon Jinn deems best. He doesn't have much experience from outside his homeworld, and his living situation was difficult. The Jedi Master continues. I appreciate the care you showed in testing for allergies and the matter of vaccinations. I admit, I hadn't even considered it a risk. That much have been fairly obvious, Obi-Wan muses, and throws the chopped peppers into the awaiting pot. I guess in core worlds and on Coruscant it wouldn't be necessary, he muses. How long has that kid been with you? Anakin doesn't have a Padawan's cut yet, and he's not wearing even initiate tunics. That's pretty telling. Only a week or so, Qui-Gon admits. And it's been a rather hectic week. This is the most quiet we've had in that time. Obi-Wan isn't sure what to say to that, so he doesn't say anything. Blatantly refusing to think what might constitute as hectic for a Jedi Master. He doesn't really care, he tells himself. There's a moment of silence, during which Obi-Wan chops up the celery and onions and whatnot, and grabs a handful of herbs off the wall, snipping them off the plants wherever the leaves are looking a little older. Bit of this and that all goes into the pot. And on top of it all, he empties out 2 jars of beans. It's not exactly high-class cantina-level cuisine, but it's gotta be temple meals. He still recalls them being mostly overripe fruits and green mush. Healthy and utterly unappetizing. I understand that us being here must be uneasy for you, Qui-Gon says after a while. I will do my utmost to make our stay here as unobtrusive as it can be. Hopefully it won't be for long. Hopefully, Obi-Wan repeats, and glances over his shoulder at the man. Qui-Gon is leaning onto the small kitchen table, his face troubled. You have no idea how long you're supposed to stay with me, do you? Do you? Qui-Gon asks, looking up. I don't even know why you're here now in the first place, Obi-Wan admits, and tries to keep the bitterness out of his voice. The members of the Jedi High Council said something about you learning a lesson. And I have to admit, I'm not exactly thrilled with being... He stops and draws a breath. I'm sure their wisdom is beyond my understanding, he mutters. He's just a lowly Service Corps member. What does he know about the mysteries of Jedi Masters? Qui-Gon's stare on him feels heavy and hard. I'm sorry, Qui-Gon says then. I have to admit, I don't understand it any better than you do. All it seems to be is an inconvenience to you. Obi-Wan lets out a breath at that. Yeah,
Sure, he thinks, and pushes the pot onto the stove a little harder than is, strictly speaking, necessary. Then he reaches for the sprouts to begin oiling and salting them for the oven. Maybe while we're here, we may be some use to you, Qui-Gon then offers carefully, and then tries for a more cheerful tone. If nothing else, I can do some heavy lifting. Obi-Wan's first instinct is to snap that he can do his own damn lifting. He is not a weak 13-year-old anymore. But the words aren't offered as an offhand boast. There is no ill intent there. The man doesn't feel anything more than calm and faintly hopeful. Mostly, he feels awkward. Qui-Gon is probably just trying, in his own way, to be helpful. He probably doesn't want to be there any more than Obi-Wan wants him there. But he is, and so he's going to try and make the most of it. Yeah, maybe, Obi-Wan says, and sighs, looking at the man over his shoulder. So many dreams. So many nightmares. So many lost hopes rode on that man's shoulders. Obi-Wan is almost dismayed to find them wide enough to carry it all. Somehow, even while failing to live up to all his imagination, the man still manages to somehow surpass them. He isn't the cruel figure of aloof authority Obi-Wan had nightmares of, and he isn't the pinnacle of Jedi perfection he had dreamed of. He's just a man who happens to also be a Jedi Master. And nothing all that much greater or lesser than that. Just another human being, and that's all. I guess we'll see what becomes of this, Obi-Wan says, and turns his attention back to the sprouts. He takes a breath, and then reaches out for a baking tray. You can stop by setting the table, he says then, and nods to the cupboard. Everything's over there. Qui-Gon stands up and goes to fetch the plates. The clatter of dishes and utensils for a moment is the only sound between them, as Obi-Wan finishes setting up the sprouts and heats up the oven, pushing the tray in before turning to check the soup. It looks good enough, he thinks, and stirs it idly, leaning his hip into the edge of the table. Well, if nothing else, the whole thing is giving him an excuse to cook. Alone, he is much more likely just to pick his way through the ship and end up eating whatever caught his eye. Cooking just for yourself was too much of a bother. Should I go get Anakin? Qui-Gon asks. This will take a bit longer, Obi-Wan says, and then glances back. He comes from a desert planet, doesn't he? Is that a problem? Qui-Gon asks. Just wondering about the preoccupation with fish, Obi-Wan says. He knows an AgriCorps member who came from a desert world, and there wasn't a dish Obi-Wan didn't manage to woefully underspice whenever she came around. Water is very precious where he comes from, Qui-Gon admits. I think you'll have to endure his preoccupation for a while. Obi-Wan nods, and after a moment of thought, gets out a case of dry spices, setting it aside to lift to the table, just in case. I don't mind, he murmurs. That was actually one of the few things he doesn't really mind about this. Something about the kid turns his stomach a little, doing little somersaults of unease and confusion and suspicion. But that bit of wonder, the wide eyes, even if it's awe spawned from sheer ignorance, he hadn't expected it. It was nice, even. Not quite enough to make up for all the other crap, but silver lining on the storm cloud, at any rate. Qui-Gon goes to fetch the boy, while Obi-Wan tends to the soup, testing it with a spoon before grabbing a few more leaves of thyme off the wall and adding them in as well before leaving it to simmer. He then checks the dry goods pantry. No bread left, no surprise there, but he does have some crackers. Those would do with the soup. Soy milk would have to do for drink if water wasn't good enough. He is just setting the bottle down onto the table when Qui-Gon returns with Anakin, ushering the boy in. Anakin doesn't quite hesitate, glancing at Obi-Wan, and then at the fish tanks, and then stepping forward. "I hope you're not expecting meat. I rarely have any," Obi-Wan admits. "You're a vegetarian?" Qui-Gon asks. "By habit, more than anything. I get everything I need off the ship. Meat just isn't one of those things," Obi-Wan says, and shrugs. "I have some fish in the freezer, though, for eating." Anakin looks at him, and then back to the aquaponics tank. "So you don't eat those fish?" the boy then asks, motions to them. "Definitely not used to core worlds, this kid." "Nah," Obi-Wan says, and goes to check on the roasting sprouts. Not quite ready yet. "My fish are too small to make good eating, really. They've been bred to look fancy, not to be healthy eating." "Huh," Anakin says, and takes a seat by the table. He's eyeing the tanks. "I guess it would be a shame to eat something so pretty. Do you know how many fish are in there?" "In the tanks?" Obi-Wan asks, and considers them. "About 50 fish in each, I think. MD6 would know the exact number. He helps me manage the aquaponics." Anakin narrows his eyes at the tanks, his eyes flickering between the fish. He's trying to count them, Obi-Wan realizes, and tilts his head a little, watching the concentration be chased off by frustration. "You have many droids here," Qui-Gon comments. 7 in total, counting TR-34, Obi-Wan agrees, and turns back to the food. "The rest are all monitor droids. They keep track of everything for me, so I can do more important things." "I imagine you do a lot of research," Qui-Gon says, thoughtful. Obi-Wan hesitates, glancing at the man. He is prodding the conversation along oh so carefully. But does he really care? "Probably not," Obi-Wan muses, and turns back to the food, lifting a few beans with a ladle to check how they're coming along. "Some," he answers finally. "There are a lot of ongoing experiments I do. Agriculture isn't exactly super fast-paced." "Are all the plants here for experiments?" Anakin asks curiously, leaning forward. "How many plants do you have in here?" "Oh, I don't know. A little under 10,000, maybe," Obi-Wan muses, scratching at his chin. 10,000? "The racks there alone hold a few thousand plants," Obi-Wan agrees, motioning to the dining hall. "I haven't exactly bothered to keep count of how many there are all around the ship. A bit over 7,000 the last time we counted. But to answer the question, some are running experiments, some are from old experiments. A lot are just," he waves a hand, "just curiosity. And food. And speaking of which..." With a last check on the pot, Obi-Wan takes it off the stove, glancing to the side and reaching with the force to grab a coaster to put it on. It flies through the air into the table, where it slides into place just as Obi-Wan sets the pot down. Anakin stares at the pot, or rather the coaster under it, while Qui-Gon frowns a little. "Duck in. I'll get the sprouts," Obi-Wan says, grabbing an oven mitt with the force and sliding it onto his hand before going to get the tray off the oven. "That's wizard," Anakin murmurs. "It's just bean soup," Obi-Wan mutters.
What does that even mean, wizard? Who says that?
Shaking his head, he pulls the baking tray out, checking the sprouts over.
Eh, good enough,
he decides, and transfers the sprouts onto a plate before carrying it to the table. Qui-Gon is watching him oddly.
He hasn't even touched the pot, it looks like.
I didn't go through the trouble of checking your allergies to poison you now, Obi-Wan says, a bit uneasy.
I'm sure the soup is fine,
Qui-Gon says slowly, while Anakin stares at him, wide-eyed.
What?
Obi-Wan asks, confused.
Wizard, the boy says, and grins.
So what is this stuff? He asks, craning his neck to see the plate Obi-Wan's holding. Did they come off the ship?
Yes, more or less, Obi-Wan says, and sighs,
leaning back to get the spice rack.
He doesn't get these people at all. The beans are a bit older, but most everything else is more or less fresh or recently refrigerated.
It must be handy to be so self-sufficient,
Qui-Gon comments, shaking his head and considering the soup before reaching for the ladle.
Saves me shopping trips, and I can pretty much always eat fresh food,
Obi-Wan says, and sits down.
Also saved him from slow starvation when he got sent into worlds with next to no food to speak of.
But that's not polite dinner conversation, is it?
It definitely beats survival rations.
I bet,
Anakin murmurs, and looks on curiously as Qui-Gon ladles the soup for himself, and then grins brightly when the Jedi Master takes the boy's plate and serves him a portion as well. Leaning his chin onto his palm, Obi-Wan looks between his two guests. It's a small bit of interaction, but a telling one. In traditional Master-Padawan pairs, it's the Padawan who serves the food. That much Obi-Wan still remembers about the propriety lessons. He'd been so proud of himself when he'd aced that class. He'd learned all the steps, all the moves, could still recite them by heart. Hell, he could probably still do a tea ceremony fit for a goddamn queen if he had to. That's what's expected of Padawans. Perfect etiquette and modesty. Their behavior reflected on their masters, after all.
Qui-Gon doesn't seem to expect it at all from Anakin, though, that Padawan's customary squire-like servitude. Maybe it's the kid's status as an outsider to the Jedi Order. Anakin wouldn't know those lessons, probably, but there's something about it. Something that marks it as special between them.
Obi-Wan drums his lips with his fingers and then looks away at the fish tank.
Desert world, no vaccinations, no understanding over allergies, homespun clothes. Plus, the toxicology he got back from Anakin's blood tests. Among other things, like natural antibody illnesses that have relatively cheap cures and heapings of radiation damage, the kid's blood work showed signs of both having been exposed to a lot of not-so-healthy fumes and stims. Which might mean any number of things. None of them all that good. No infant immunizations either.
Here, Qui-Gon says, and holds out the ladle for him. And Obi-Wan accepts it with a hum, glancing at the pot.
Looks like he'd made enough. Good.
Good. Obi-Wan goes to fill his own bowl, his thoughts racing.
Well, that might explain why the Jedi High Council was being so damn weird. And why they didn't just send the kid packing, if they didn't want him in the Order. For sensitivity be damned. It doesn't explain why they'd send them to Obi-Wan's ship of all places. It still feels like he's being punished,
or at least used, for things that had nothing to do with him. But it's an inkling of an explanation.
So what is this stuff? Anakin asks, spooning at his soup and peering at it curiously.
Obi-Wan straightens his back a little. Well, there's beans there. The red stuff is from a bell pepper. Anakin listens attentively as he lists all the ingredients of the soup, while Qui-Gon watches them with a thoughtful look about his face, but doesn't seem in any hurry to interject, letting Obi-Wan talk. He seems better at ease now.
Obi-Wan glances at him while explaining what a bell pepper is to Anakin, privately wondering at the man.
It's still unspeakably weird to have them there. Well, Anakin, he can give or take. His origins aside, the kid doesn't seem any different from any other kid he's known. But Qui-Gon... Qui-Gon is somewhat more troubling. Especially with this. Qui-Gon had taken a slave child to the Jedi Temple. Tried to claim him for his student. That's one hell of a kick at the anthill right there.
So, had it been refused because Anakin was a slave? Or because Qui-Gon had a reputation at this point? And what the hell is Obi-Wan supposed to do with them now?